Thank you, Eva. Appreciate it. And, this morning, we're going to be speaking about hope. A little word that makes a big difference. Hope. We're on the doorstep, literally, of a new year, 2019. And it's how we do this new year thing. It's our way of recognizing our planet's trip around the sun one more time. And it's also a time of year in which we're going to pray in just a minute, but I'll just give a little introduction. When you hear a lot of people talk about resolutions, about what the next year is to look like, there's wishing in some ways that the coming year might be better than the last year. And it might be in different ways, maybe regarding finances or diet or exercise or all kinds of things. Some have lost hope regarding the present and regarding the future, regarding others in their lives, and even some have lost hope even for themselves. But God's word points us to something very different than pessimism and cynicism. It paints a picture of our God who has high hopes for each of us as we face our present and our future. And so hope is an important word, and we want to take a look at that this morning. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. And I've been praying as I've been working on this message that God would fill each of us with hope regarding the future, no matter what the circumstances you're in right now, and no matter what this coming year brings. None of us really knows, do we, what's going to happen this year ahead of us. But God can bring us hope, and that's what we want to talk about. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the hope that we have in you. And Lord, help us to be reminded of it today. And Lord, as we look to your word, to know that you want to fill our hearts with hope, Lord, and there is something to be hopeful for. So, Lord, please bring these truths home to our way of thinking and how we do life. Please help us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, where there's hope, many times you'll also find a lack of hope. And there's a lot of hopelessness about. You know, you begin to talk to people, if you listen to the news on a regular basis, and all those commentators who comment on current events. Hopelessness is often born out of difficulties, defeats, and discouragement that we face in life. Maybe failure of relationships. It might be rejection. For some, it may be chronic pain that just does not go away. And for others, it may be financial setbacks that just paint very gloomy clouds over the horizon. And you know, this thing of hopelessness is not reserved just for a select few. It plagues probably all of us at some time or another in our lives, where we look out and we take a look at circumstances and we maybe feel like there's no reason for hope. And you know, it's interesting, even those people in the Bible that you and I read about and we look up to as people of faith, they often suffered from a lack of hope. You can read it, and the scripture does give an account of the struggles they had. Aren't you glad for that? That it lets us know that the people that we read about, that God put in there to be encouragement and an example for us, also struggled with hopelessness in their lives. There's a pastor that I really appreciate. If you get a chance to hear him on the radio or read any of his books, his name is Tony Evans. He pastors out in Texas near Dallas. And he said something that made a lot of sense. I found this. He said, hopelessness often comes at the point in your life when you feel that you have hit rock bottom. But God will often let us hit rock bottom so that we will discover that he is the rock at the bottom. He is the rock at the bottom. You know, Scripture reminds us that God remains close to those who are broken and brokenhearted, and that he can even make us better and stronger after brokenness. I wanted to take a look at one verse here. We're going to look at a bunch of different passages. If you're not aware of it, your Bibles are filled with the word regarding hope and what God brings to our lives here. I'm going to look at this verse, Psalm 34 and verse 18. It says this: "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed." And so it's important to remember when we're going through difficulties or defeats that God remains close, even though circumstances may look difficult and bad. And there are seasons in our lives when the Lord uses our suffering to grow and strengthen us. And in the process of that, he strips away our own self-sufficiency, makes us realize that what we think we bring to the table, it's God that really gives us strength. You know, even when we go through those difficult times, God is after our greater good. That's the ultimate purpose of the whole thing. The basis of real hope is knowing who God is knowing God, the one who controls the universe and the one who promises us to bring us to heaven. But real hope is not found where we typically look for it. We humans look for hope in our possessions, in our own strength, in other people's love and appreciation for us. Boy, you know that old Frank Sinatra song, you know, "Riding High in April"? What's the next passage say? "Shot Down in May." And so if you and I are looking for real hope in even the fact that other people may appreciate and love us, it's not the place ultimately where we have to look. We're grateful for that. Not taking anything away from that, but ultimately, real hope is found in who God is and what he has planned for us. There's a couple passages I want us to look at, and Robert, on the notes there, could you bring up Psalm 33, 16, and 17 first, please? Let me read this here, Psalm 33, 16, and 17. "But the Lord watches over those who fear him, those who rely on his unfailing love. He rescues them from death and keeps them alive in times of famine." 16 and 17. I'm sorry, let me read 16. "The best equipped army cannot save a king, nor is great strength enough to save a warrior. Don't count on your war horse to give you victory. For all its strength, it cannot save you." If you're a student of history, you have to know that sometimes the race does not always go to the swiftest. The battle is not always won by the strongest one. And so life teaches us that to put our confidence in our own strength, in our own perceived might, is a mistaken notion. Let's look at another passage here, Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9. I was looking at those verses and I thought, boy, I must have a different place in the Bible than what I'm supposed to be reading. Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9. Let's take a look at these verses here. "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to" what? "Trust in people." How many have ever had your trust in people fail? Okay, now we shouldn't get too worked up about that, because there are people out there who could say that we have done the same thing. Okay, in our lives. So we recognize this. You hope for the best, but realize that ultimately our real hope cannot rest in people, because frankly, people are struggling just like you and I are struggling, okay? And sometimes we want to do the right thing, but we just do not muster what it takes to do it. And sometimes, let's just get real honest, sometimes we don't even want to do the right thing, do we? We just want to do our thing. And so we're told not to ultimately trust in people. Now, there is a basic trust that we try to operate on, and we should be trustworthy. That should be our aim. But ultimately, friends, we have to realize our ultimate hope has to be in God. Let's take a look at another one. This is good to be reminded of after every political season. "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in" what? "Princes." In leadership. In leaders. You know, we have the great privilege of voting for those that we want to represent us and make decisions on our behalf. But ultimately, friends, we are reminded to hope in God, and we're reminded of that. There's another passage, and it's 1 Timothy chapter 6. This one hits close to home. Let's take a look at this one. 1 Timothy 6, we read this around here quite a bit. Some great instruction for us regarding money and possessions. We read verse 17. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. So we recognize this. Real hope cannot really be found in our own strength, in other people, even in those who seem powerful and seem like they know exactly where to go and exactly how it's going to be done. Ultimately, we must trust in God. And then it says this, don't trust in your riches, in your money, in your possessions, because in fact it is unreliable. Trust in God. Now, there is a difference between wishing and hoping. Wishing projects what we want or what we think we need out into the future, and it's oriented to what we are doing when we wish. Hoping is a little bit different, because hoping is desiring what God is going to do, and it's oriented to what God is doing. When people say they've lost hope, what they usually mean is that they've given up on wishing. Either their wishes didn't turn out the way they wanted them to, they didn't get what they wished for, or maybe they got what they wished for, but then they found out they didn't really want that anyway. Has that ever happened to anybody here? You wished for something, you just could not go on unless you had it, and then when you got it, you thought, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. Hope, on the other hand, the Bible says, is never disappointed. Let's take a look at this passage here, Romans chapter 5. As I said, the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, speak a lot about hope and hoping in God. It says this. I'm going to read verses. Robert, I'm going to throw you a curveball. Could you bring up verses 3, 4, and 5? Romans 5 there. It says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop what? Endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Let me read this verse, verse 5. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Real hope, the kind of hope that God's talking about, where we recognize, look, I'm thankful for the blessings in my life, but ultimately I cannot rest my being on what I own, whether people happen to like me today, whether I'm a champ or a chump. That's how it works, okay? And it changes sometimes from day to day. But our what we really settle our peace and our comfort on is the fact of what God has promised. And he says that is the hope we deal with. And that hope is not disappointed. And you know, people who hope in God's promises don't know exactly how it's all going to work out. But they expect it to be good because God is good. Even when difficulties and defeats and disasters come, people with hope look for how God will use those things, even if they're not so great. That passage in the book of Romans, we know that God works all things together for good for those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose. You know, it's not saying everything is good. You know that, don't you? But it says God can use those things, even difficult things, even defeats, for good. And think about in the course of your life, some of the things that have been hard things to make your way through, that if you're looking to God and you're looking to see how God's going to work this out and what he can bring from it, on the other side of it, sometimes it's way down the road, you look back and say, you know, that wasn't good, but I can see what God did through that. And that's what it's talking about. So a person who hopes in God is alive to what God might just do. And hope is powerful. Would you agree with me? There's a well-known saying, and I better just say I've heard of it. Maybe you've never heard of it. Have you ever heard that saying, hope springs what? Eternal. Hope springs eternal. You know what that's saying? Is that within the heart of man, there is something that hope is just there. It's there. It's going forward. Even if it's beaten down, where there's hope, there's a possibility that God may do something. I want to read here, going to the book of Romans again, chapter 15. I'll skip chapter 5, Robert. Let's go to chapter 15 of the book of Romans. As I said earlier, your Bible is filled with passages regarding hope and what to put our hope in. Let's look at Romans 15 and verse 13. Paul wrote and said this, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So God is the source of hope. Is God the source of hope in your life today? Certainly, if God exists, then there's hope. Wouldn't you agree with that? So God is the source of hope. And I realize that even in our congregation, we're not a large congregation, but there's no doubt someone who came in today who you may be feeling defeated in some area of your life and maybe feel like the very word hopeless describes that situation. Let me just tell you, friends, in God there is hope. And He tells us over and over again not to forget that, to remember that. Do you know that hope plays a role in enduring and overcoming trials? I'm going to read a passage here from the book of Psalms, Psalm 147, verses 10 and 11. Let's turn there. Psalm 147, verses 10 and 11. Speaks about God. He takes no pleasure in the strength of a horse or in human might. No, the Lord's delight is in those who fear Him. And I looked that up, and they said that that means those who stand in awe of God. Those who step back and say, you know what? God, you put all this together. You are a great God. Nothing is impossible with you. I don't know how this is going to turn out in my life, but I'm standing in awe of you, God. However it works out, I'm looking to you. Let me read on what it says. And it says, no, the Lord's delight is in those who fear Him, those who put their hope in His unfailing love. So when we are faced with troubles, instead of immediately responding with impatience and despondency, hopelessness, we can and should turn our thoughts to the goodness of our great God. And do you know, friends, hope includes with it testing and uncertainty? The very fact that you and I hope, and the fact that things aren't always the way we wish they'd be, that in our lives there is uncertainty. I was reading here and studying about Abraham, who God gave a promise to Abraham. If you know the story, and Abraham tried working it out his own way, things didn't turn out that great when he tried to kind of manufacture his own way through this issue. Waiting for a promised child, that it says that God kept His promise to Abraham. And you know what? You and I have proof today, because there's a group of people sitting on that land that God had promised His people today. And so God keeps His promises. So hope does include testing and uncertainty, but hope is what helps us to endure and to overcome and to keep trusting God in spite of what the circumstances might look like. So we are reminded it is important not to just yield to disbelief because of discouraging circumstances that we may face. And I am grateful. You know what Jesus told His followers? Jesus told those who would follow Him, He said this, you will have many trials and sorrows. Now, if you're trying to start a movement, a new movement, and you know, you might be tempted to say, look, I'm going to tell all these people who I'm trying to get to follow me, everything is going to work out just exactly how you want it to work out. Jesus didn't do that. He said, you know what, guys? Out ahead of you are trials and sorrows. And by the way, it was. Those disciples of Christ, the ones that we know about, most of them, that certainly the group of the apostles, all but one, met their death or martyred. But here's what Jesus said. He said, you're going to face many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. And hope is what pushes us to persevere through the uncertainty, the pain, and even the fear. Hope is more powerful. Something that we are reminded of, and that is that God's word. I remember last year about this time throwing out a challenge to the church. Does anybody remember what that challenge was? Will you read through the New Testament in this year? I'm going to throw it out again. I'm not going to ask you where you are in that pursuit. But I'm going to throw it out again for our church, for you to take your Bibles. And like I said last year about this same time, those New Testaments that we pass out to visitors, if you don't have one, grab one on the way out, because it's a translation that it's easy to read and understand. And there's some notes in there that can help you to understand what you're reading. Maybe you've never opened up the Bible before and actually read it. I want to just continue to challenge our church to read His Word, because God's Word has some great direction for us. I talked with Alan a little earlier, and he said, after we were singing, he said, we're going to get the roadmap, aren't we? He was talking about us getting up here and opening up our Bibles. And he said, yep, we're going to break the bread, and that's what it is. It feeds us. So let's take a look at some passages regarding hope. The book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. So God has given both His promise and His oath. These two things are unchangeable, because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to Him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Let's go to Hebrews 10 and verse 23. Look at another verse here. God's word and His promises bring hope. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. God's promises to us bring hope. God is a promise maker, and He is a promise keeper. Jesus told His disciples in John chapter 14 that He was going to prepare a place for them, and that He would come and receive them to Himself. Jesus, in these words, offers His followers hope for life that lasts beyond the worries and the cares of this present one. The hope that we have in Jesus Christ extends far beyond relational heartbreak, far beyond financial stresses and the disappointments that we experience in our lives. Thinking about this hope that we speak about may not change our circumstances, but it can change our perspective of how we view things. I want us now to turn to Psalm 42. I'm going to take a look at a front row seat on heartbreak and hope, Psalm 42. We sing the first verse of this psalm here at church on a pretty regular basis. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. This Psalm 42 is a passage that lets us see heartbreak, discouragement, and disappointment, and hope side by side. And much like our own lives, it goes back and forth, doesn't it? How many of you some days go from hope to heartbreak, and by the time you crawl into bed at night, you're back to heartbreak again? just back and forth. And so we see it here. Let's take a look at these verses. We're going to look at some selected verses. Verse 1, as the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. Now, that sounds like everything's okay, doesn't it? You know, as a guy who's talking about how he longs for God, but it's not. Because look at verse 3. Verse 3, he says, day and night I have only tears for food. Means he's not eating. You know, that is a common thing when our hearts, we're grieving that we just don't feel like eating, do we? And that's what he's saying. My tears are my food. That's what's going on here. And that sounds like discouragement to me. Doesn't it sound like that to you, of hopelessness? On top of that, look at the rest of the verse. He says, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? On top of that, he's being mocked. Where is this God of yours? You know, it's interesting. The enemy of our souls takes advantage of our times of weakness and discouragement and introduces doubt about God to our lives. Has that ever happened to anybody here? It's not when everything is just rolling along. It's when the wheels are falling off, right? When we're discouraged, when our hearts are heavy. It's then that the enemy brings those who say, oh yeah, God, where's he? Where's he in all of this? And so that seems to be how the enemy works. But look at verse 4. We see a breaking heart. My heart is breaking. And thinking back on how things used to be, those sure were great times. Deep sorrow often tries to lose itself in the recollection of happier times, doesn't it? Sometimes when our hearts are heavy, and I think there's an aspect of that God has blessed humanity with the capacity of memory. And I've shared this probably with a number of folks here in our church. My mom, she's got an incredible memory. I mean, she tells me stuff that I did or didn't do back years ago. She's got a great memory. But she does remind me of this. She said, you know, God gives us memory. And she quotes a Scottish poet by the name of James Barry. I've shared this with you. He wrote Peter Pan. That God gave us memory so that we can have roses in December. So when the cold winds blow and the rose petals have fallen off the actual rose bush, the capacity of memory helps us to think back on those times of blessing. But, you know, as we have a breaking heart, we think about how things used to be, and they're not that way anymore. We observe this back and forth between heartbreak and hope, and we know about that, don't we? Has God forgotten me? Of course he hasn't. Back and forth. Look at verse 5. Why am I discouraged, and why is my heart so sad? And then he answers, I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again. Hope's not dead, is it? Certainly the circumstances sound like they're mounting against him. Look at verse 6. He says, now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you, God. Hopelessness can cause us to ask, does God really care? Hope says he does. And you know, friends, pain is real, isn't it? Nobody's here to tell you today that pain isn't real. But do you know that hope is real too? And hope is what pushes us to persevere and move on. Look at verse 7. He said, I hear the roaring seas, the raging seas, and your waves and your tides sweep over me. But look at verse 8. But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me. And through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. Verse 9, he's back at it again. Oh God, my rock, I cry, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief? And then look at verse 11. Why am I discouraged, and why is my heart so sad? But still, he says, I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. What changed his feelings of discouragement and hopelessness? Evidently, it was hope. It was him looking to God's unfailing love. I think that the problem is that we get our eyes on the circumstances and we forget all about what God has done in the past. We forget all of about his promises regarding the future. And so this thing of hope, a small word that makes a big difference. You know, this psalmist that was writing this, and there's some debate about what it's about. Some people who study the Bible think it was about King David, although King David did not write it. They don't believe it was him that penned it, but they think it might have been about him. The story of King David's life, part of that story was one of his own sons for a whole year chased him, trying to kill him. David was the king. David was out running and hiding from his own son, and the area that this was written about was an area where David was hanging out, hiding for his life. Maybe thinking about, boy, I remember what things were like when we used to come into the house of God and worship him, and now I'm out here. I wish things were different than they were. But he said, I remember, God, your unfailing love. And that's important for us, to look in a different direction than just where the pain's coming from, but to realize that God has not left. So we face a new year, 2019. We have no idea. I looked this week on all the failed predictions of 2018. I had to laugh at some of them. They were great. But these were the experts talking about all the things that were going to happen. You know what I realized? They don't know any better than I do. And they're experts. So we don't know what 2019 holds. If we're privileged to be here again next year at this time, who knows what stories will have been told. But friends, here's what we need to remember. Whatever happens, God is with us. Amen. And there is hope. In one of the books there, in the book of Ecclesiastes, the wise man said this, you know, I'd rather be a live dog than a dead lion, because if I'm a live dog, there's still hope. And as long as there is hope in our God, we don't have to be hopeless. Amen to that. I'm going to ask if you'd stand today, and those of you that were hoping to get out of here before noon, it's happening. Don't give up hope. It can happen. Let me just, before we pray, tell you the greatest source of hope that we have, and that is in God's provision for our sin, that Jesus died on the cross. I mean, that, as I think about life, and I'm still wet behind the ears, I'm still young, at least I'm telling myself that, 62, I'm learning things, but you know, I realize in my dealings with people and just moving through life that I think a lot of the unrest and unsettledness that people have going through life is because they are so uncertain about where they stand with God. And you know, there's a lot playing at that, our own willfulness, but also there's an enemy of all that God wants and all that God desires for us, and he's constantly throwing a whole lot of nonsense into that. But there is a great amount of hopelessness and unsettledness because people don't have that hope of, hey, when I leave this place, are things right between me and my Creator? And the word that God brings, if we're going to pay attention to it, it says you and I can have. We don't understand it all. Certainly, it's beyond my comprehension, a lot of what God does. That's why he's God, though, right? That's why he's God and we're not. But he offers forgiveness and mercy to us. And I, on a weekly basis, we appeal to say, trust in that mercy. There is hope in that. Today, if you are uncertain about your hope, what it lies in, maybe you have been sorely disappointed by things you thought would ring the bell, people, possessions, all of these things, and realize, hey, I need to rest myself in real hope, God's promises. Let me just pray for you on that, okay? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that as we face this new year, Lord, that we do not know what is out there, Lord, help us not to resort to hopelessness, to pessimism, cynicism, but Lord, to rest our hope in you. Father, we recognize that that whole equation has in it uncertainty and testing. Lord, help us to continue to look to you even through those times of defeat and difficulty, disappointment, and even discouragement. Lord, as we read about and looked at, Lord, help us to lift our eyes to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.